This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A happy Tuesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. A lot to get to today. We got a loaded college basketball slate on the card. We'll give out some best bets there. Divisional matchups are set in the NFL. Best weekend of the year in the NFL. We'll look at some of those matchups. Look at Super Bowl MVP odds as well. We're also going to talk later on in the show with Matt Horner. He's going to join us for Model Making Money. PJ's props coming up later on in the show. Dive into all the different sports. We'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day as well during PJ's plays. So make sure you guys stick around for that. Over the next 30 minutes, a lot to get to today. You can chime in with your questions. Twitch.tv/BetQL. You can go to YouTube. YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports as well. And if you miss any part of the show, you can check us out on YouTube or you can check us out wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in, send it in, and we'll be right there for you to listen to the show. But Glasser's in session. Let's get this thing started. Tyler Wojak joins us here on the Glasser guest line. Give him a follow on X at Tyler Wojak. Does work for Fox Sports. Also, make sure you listen to the Locked On Irish podcast. And Tyler, great to have you back on the show. We had you on at the beginning of the college football playoff to preview the Notre Dame-Indiana game. And we were talking about how the Irish path was pretty favorable and we could see them making it to the national title game. A great run. Their defense has been great. Riley Leonard's been good. Mitch Jeter, obviously, kicking some clutch field goals has been awesome as well. Now they got to go up against Ohio State. What would you say about Notre Dame, what you've seen out of them? Have they even surprised you getting to this point, or have they kind of played as you would have expected them to up to this point?
They've surprised me in the sense that they pretty much handled Indiana and Georgia. They won both games by double digits. I mean, they only beat Indiana by 10, but there was a lot of window dressing there late. But I was really impressed by the way that they physically handled Georgia. I understand that Georgia was playing without Carson Beck, their starting quarterback, but they had Gunnar Stockton, and there were a lot of Georgia fans in the lead-up to that game saying that provided them with an advantage because he was a little bit more of a dual threat. The Notre Dame defense wouldn't be ready. Well, they were not really fazed by him at all in that game. And then in the Penn State game, I was surprised in the sense that they had enough to come back because I think there was a physical toll taken on them in that game against Georgia and then having to play another game just 1 week after going up against a really quality team like Penn State. So when they got down 10-0, I thought, man, they look gassed, especially on the defensive line, and then you add in the injury to Riley Mills. So I wasn't really surprised up until that second half when they just put it all together and came through, were able to rally back to beat Penn State and make it to the national championship. Because even though you and I said before the playoff, like, hey, this path is favorable, they could make it to the national championship, it's an entirely different thing to actually go out and win three straight games to get to this point.
No doubt. And now they match up against Ohio State. I think, Tyler, everybody would agree this is the most talented. This is the best team in the country. It's going to take a massive A-plus effort for Notre Dame to get the job done. If there's one thing that you think Ohio State does that's going to be the biggest challenge for Notre Dame on Monday night, what do you think that thing would be?
It's their defensive line. They are so good on that side of the ball, but particular on that defensive line. Not only are they great at getting after the passer, but teams just cannot run the ball on them. Texas was like the first real team who had a chance to run the ball on them, right? Because Tennessee, they were out of that game in the first quarter, so they couldn't really try to run the ball. Same thing with Oregon. Ohio State was running them out of the building, so they never even really tried to establish any sort of ground game because they were trying to come back so early on. But Texas tried. They really tried to stick to the run throughout the whole game because the game was still in balance, and they just couldn't do it. And we know, watching Notre Dame, that is something that they're certainly going to try to do. They have leaned heavily on the legs of Jeremiah Love and their starting quarterback, Riley Leonard. Plus, I think Jadarian Price, their number two back, is slept on. He's very underrated, even though he wasn't really a factor in that game against Penn State. He has been huge for this team all year long. So Notre Dame is going to try. They're going to try to run the ball, despite the fact that they're dealing with even more injuries on that offensive line. And so far, there really hasn't been a team in this college football playoff that has been able to run on Ohio State, but Notre Dame is going to try it one more time.
Yeah, they definitely will. The D-line is a concern, and also I think for Notre Dame, Tyler, a concern is those freshman corners going up against that Ohio State receiving core. Do you think that Texas put enough on tape with the way that they were able to slow down Ohio State, specifically Jeremiah Smith, only giving up one reception for 4 yards? You already have one of the best defensive coaches in Marcus Freeman. Do you think using Freeman and also what Texas put on tape, do you think that could be a big advantage for Notre Dame, maybe how they scheme up this Ohio State passing game?
Yes and no. I would say yes in the sense that they pretty much decided before the game that for Jeremiah Smith is not going to beat him. And they did a great job. They really held him in check the whole game. They were providing some safety support. They ran a lot of zone coverage his way, but that's not really what Notre Dame does. And Notre Dame runs more man-to-man defense than anyone else in the entire country. And Will Howard has only seen man defense 19% of the time. Now, you could make the argument that's smart, right? Because no one would dare to try to run man coverage against this crop of wide receivers. But at the same time, you can't really get away from what got you here if you're Notre Dame, right? Like, they have ran man defense all season long. They didn't allow a single catch to a Penn State wide receiver last week. So I think it would be almost a bad decision to just completely abandon man coverage, because I think that sends a message to your cornerbacks, Leonard Moore and Christian Gray, that you don't believe in them in this game. And I think that could have an effect, like, beyond just the actual schematics there. It could really affect their mental in this game. So they're going to trust him to run man coverage, but I do think they're going to provide a little bit more safety help with it on Shuler and Xavier Watts, probably more so than they would in a regular game or even as recently as that game against Penn State. So I think they're going to stay true to their principles, run man defense, but I mean, these guys are just, they're different beasts over there at Ohio State. So they're going to have to provide them with a little bit more support in the back end and then trust their defensive line and their linebackers to try to contain that run game as much as possible.
On the offensive side, Tyler, if you were looking at Riley Leonard props, do you think a better bet would be taking his passing yards over 167.5 or his rushing yards over 37.5, knowing that sacks in college football count towards your rushing yards? Because obviously you would think Notre Dame's probably going to be trailing in this game and they're going to need Riley Leonard to make some plays through the air. You just talked about how good Ohio State's D-line is. But obviously Notre Dame, in a perfect world, they want to use the Michigan game plan that the Wolverines use against Ohio State, right? They want to make this game ugly. They want to muck it up. They want to keep it low scoring. So do you think it's correlated? Like, if you like Notre Dame, do you think that's correlated to Riley Leonard rushing yards? If you like Ohio State, do you take his passing yards? How do you kind of look at that?
I think it's interesting, right? Because if Notre Dame is going to win this game, I do think that they're going to have to get out early, or at least be tied with Ohio State early. If they get down 10 points to this Buckeye team, I don't really feel good about their chances to come back. But to the point about the rushing yard props, so Riley Leonard's legs are a huge factor in that game against Penn State, especially in short yardage situations. It felt like whenever Notre Dame needed 2 yards, he would get three. If they needed 3 yards, he would get four. So he finished the game with 18 carries for only 35 yards, but he did score a touchdown. And late in the game, even when Penn State knew it was coming, he was always able to get just enough yards. So when you look at that number, what did you say it was for the rushing yards again?
37.5.
37.5. I would be hesitant to do that because they don't really expect him to break off a long run, although he did do that against Georgia. He had a long of 32 in that game. I think they're going to use him more in the short yardage situations. That's kind of how they used him all year. And then Ohio State has been so good in those situations, they're going to have to try to really go big on big there. I think it's actually a safer bet to go over on the passing yards because Ohio State is going to dare Notre Dame to throw it. He proved that he could do it against Penn State, finished with 223 passing yards, which might not seem like a lot to other quarterbacks around college football, but for Riley Leonard and the threat he poses with his legs, I think he's actually going to get over that number. They're going to have to hit on some explosive plays, and I think they're going to do it in the passing game, and that's going to be enough to get him over on that pass yard total.
Outside of Riley Leonard, who's the guy on offense for the Irish that you think needs to have the best game for them to have a chance, pull the upset?
It's got to be Jeremiah Love, and I don't even know how he's out there doing it at this point. He sprained his knee in the last regular season game against USC, ended up missing the entire second half of that game, which was still a very crucial game. It feels like an eternity ago, right, because there's been so many games since then. But that was a huge spot, and he had been dominating them in the first half, misses that game. Then he plays against Indiana but was limited because he was still dealing with that knee sprain, and he also had the flu but still broke off a 98-yard touchdown run that all but ended the game in the first quarter. But he was a non-factor against Georgia. Now, a part of the reason why is because he tweaked that knee again, and there were a lot of reports out there, conflicting reports about whether or not he was going to even give it a go against Penn State. Not only did he give it a go, he basically put the team on his back in the second half and provided them a much-needed jolt there. So they're not going to get 100% Jeremiah Love. It's just not possible given his injury. But if they can just get 80% and he's enough, and that's enough to go out there and make some big plays in the run game, then that is what Notre Dame absolutely needs to do anything on offense. Because like I said earlier, they're going to try to run the ball. Jeremiah Love is the most effective runner. When you're going up against a defense as talented as Ohio State's, you just have to rely on your athletes to make plays. And I don't know if there's a better athlete in the country than Jeremiah Love.
All right, Tyler, great breakdown on the game between Notre Dame and Ohio State. In about 30 seconds, how do you see it playing out? What's your score prediction?
Man, put me on the spot. I've thought about this game a lot. Ohio State is clearly the better team. If Ohio State plays to their full potential, they're going to probably win by 10 points or more. But in games like this, Ohio State has really not played to their full potential this season going up against an opponent who plays like Notre Dame plays. They certainly didn't play to their full potential against Michigan. They lost that game. They didn't play to their full potential against Nebraska, and they got out of that one barely. I think Notre Dame is going to try to keep this one low scoring. They're going to try to conserve the ball and chew clock as much as possible. They were so close to beating them last year, and they actually had them on the brink in 2022 there for a little bit. They had the lead in the second half. I think the power of three applies here. Somehow, some way, Notre Dame is going to find a way to get this one over the line. They're going to end up winning, I'll say, 24-21.
There you go. An upset in the Natty. Tyler Wojak joining us here on Send It In. Make sure you give him a follow on X at Tyler Wojak. Check him out on Fox Sports and his podcast, Locked On Irish, as well. Tyler, thanks for joining us again, man. Enjoy the Natty. Good luck to your Irish, and we'll see what happens. Should be a fun one on Monday night.
Of course, man. Anytime.
All right, yep. Great stuff there. Tyler Wojak joining us here on Send It In. From college now to the NFL, we have the divisional round matchup set in the NFL. Thought it'd be a good time to look at Super Bowl MVP odds, right? I'm really only looking at seven teams. I'm kind of throwing the Texans out of there. I would be shocked, quite frankly, if the Texans beat the Chiefs and then they beat the winner of Ravens-Bills. So I think you could throw the Texans out of there. Then we're looking at the other seven teams, looking at maybe who has the best value, the best bet that I like, and then some long shot odds that I would take as well. So we'll start with Kansas City. I mean, certainly anybody can win it for the Chiefs, but really the top two right away, Mahomes at +400 and Travis Kelce at 80-1. The Ravens, you could have some options, but certainly it starts with Lamar at +500, Derrick Henry at 20-1. The Buffalo Bills, if they win the Super Bowl, it's going to be Josh Allen. Maybe it's James Cook, but I think it's pretty much a certainty that Josh Allen's going to win the award. So he's +600 to win Super Bowl MVP. The Lions are really interesting because you got Goff, you got Amon-Ra, you got Gibbs, Montgomery's supposed to be back. So you have a lot of different options to choose from there. Eagles are also interesting because Jalen Hurts is 10-1. We know quarterbacks usually win this award, but Saquon with the year that he's having, he's 12-1 to win Super Bowl MVP. Then you have the two receivers, A.J. Brown 35-1, Devontae Smith at 80-1. Commanders, I found this hilarious that every team with their Super Bowl odds are like a little different, right? Mahomes plus 400 to win Super Bowl MVP. The Chiefs are plus 350 to win the Super Bowl. Well, for the Commanders, it's the same. Jaden Daniels to win the Super Bowl MVP is 30-1, and for the Commanders to win the Super Bowl, they're 30-1. Odds makers are smart. They pretty much know if the Commanders are going to win the Super Bowl, it's going to be because of Jaden Daniels. So there's really no point in betting Jaden Daniels to win Super Bowl MVP. Just take the Commanders to win the Super Bowl by the off chance that he somehow doesn't win the award if they do win the Super Bowl, but I don't think the Commanders are going to. And like I said, Texans, no real bets to play. Stroud, Nico Collins, anybody like that. So those are the seven teams that we're looking at potentially. You could throw Stafford in there if you wanted to as well. Maybe Puka or Kyren Williams. I know the Rams, Stafford, and McVay have won a Super Bowl. I really think it's going to be one of the three teams, though, between the Lions, the Eagles, and then, again, I threw Jaden Daniels in there just because if the Commanders do somehow win the Super Bowl, it's going to be Jaden Daniels. I think the best value for the award is going to be Saquon Barkley at 12-1. Usually quarterbacks win this award, as we know, but it feels like with the Eagles and with Saquon, it's just different. He's good for about 100 rushing yards every single week. And they're really gonna they're gonna feature him a ton in these playoff games. And look, if the Eagles do make it to the Super Bowl, they're gonna go up against a really good defense on the AFC side. The Ravens are really good against the run. The Chiefs and the Bills, not as good, but still pretty effective. All three teams pretty good against the pass as well. But the Eagles want to run the football with Saquon and get him involved as much as they can. I think he's the best bet on the Eagles, and I think you're getting good value there at 12-1. Also, like Derrick Henry at 20-1. It feels like Lamar has done everything in his career but win a Super Bowl and win Super Bowl MVP. So you would think if the Ravens get to that game and it's somewhat a conversation, they're probably going to give it to Lamar. But with the way that the Ravens are running the football and how much they're giving it to Derrick, you could certainly make a case that he could win it as well if they get there. Pretty good value on him at 20-1. And then again, the Bills, they're plus 550 to win the Super Bowl. Josh Allen is plus 600 to win Super Bowl MVP. Like, if the Bills win the Super Bowl, Allen's going to win MVP. So I think you just take the extra $5 there and take it on Josh Allen to win Super Bowl MVP. I like Mahomes, Lamar, and Goff, though. I think for some of these teams, you know, like the Lions especially, because they have that great two-headed monster at running back, you have some great receivers, there's almost like value now on Jared Goff at the quarterback position. Lions are plus 280 to win the Super Bowl, and Goff is plus 550 to win Super Bowl MVP. Think that's really good value. Mahomes, obviously, feels like the Chiefs three-peat. He's probably going to win the award. And then Derrick Henry, I said, great value on him at 20-1, but certainly it feels like if the Ravens win it, probably going to end up giving it to Lamar. And then the long shots that I would look at, James Cook, if by some off chance the Bills win the Super Bowl and Josh Allen doesn't win Super Bowl MVP, James Cook's 100-1 to win the award, which is pretty good. Isaiah Pacheco, the Chiefs running back, is 150-1. I think that's a good long shot price. And then Mark Andrews, 250-1. That's usually Lamar's favorite target week in and week out. So some good long shot prices there. But if I had to place some bets on Super Bowl MVP, I'd look at Saquon 12-1, Derrick Henry 20-1, and I would look at Mahomes, Goff as well. I think those are probably the four best bets currently on the board right now for Super Bowl MVP. Now a promo from our friends at BetMGM. And do you think that you know playoff football? We can prove it at BetMGM's free-to-play game. For each round of the big game playoffs, you have the opportunity to answer three historical playoff football questions. If you answer all three correctly, you'll win a share of $1 million in bonus bets. First entry period, three questions about wild card games, $250,000 in bonus bets up for grabs. Second entry period, three questions about divisional games, $250,000 in bonus bets up for grabs. And the third entry period, three questions about conference championship games, $500,000 in bonus bets up for grabs. How does it work? You access the $1 million playoff football challenge promotion, BetMGM.com or the BetMGM app. You answer three questions per round during the big playoff games. And if you answer all three questions correctly, you win a share of bonus bets for that playoff round. All right, let's get to college hoops now. We got a great slate here on this Tuesday. Six games that I'm looking at and five out of the SEC, the best conference in college basketball. And every Tuesday night, you're always going to have like two or three ranked matchups on the card. We have three tonight, including Kentucky and Texas A&M. Aggie's going to be without their star point guard, Wade Taylor, again in this matchup. So Kentucky, 6.5-point favorites at home. Total in this game is 158.5. It's a high total, but it's high for a reason. And I'm going to go with the over. Texas A&M has been playing in a lot of high-scoring games in SEC play. And even in their non-conference, when they would go up against good teams, ranked teams, a lot of those games would be high-scoring as well. A&M's a great over team because they're good on offense, but they foul a ton on defense. And obviously, when the fouls start to rack up, you go to the free throw line, the clock stops while you score points. On the road in Rupp tonight, going up against one of the fastest tempo teams in the country, one of the best offensive teams in the country in Kentucky. I think we're in for another shootout. I think both teams could get into the 80s. So I like over 158.5 in Kentucky and Texas A&M. Number 15, Mississippi State is at number 1, Auburn tonight. Auburn, 7.5-point favorites at home with a total of 149.5. Tough game to handicap because Jani Broom, who was the front runner to win National Player of the Year before he got hurt in Auburn's last game on Saturday against South Carolina, he's out for this game. He's out for an extended period of time. So this is a tough one for the odds makers, right? Like, how much do you adjust the line without Jani Broom in the lineup? Feels like a buy low spot. And I like betting on teams in their first game without their star player, especially when they're at home. Auburn's one of the toughest venues to win in the SEC, especially when they're good. I think the players, especially in their first game, are going to rally around Jani Broom. They're going to play really well tonight. Their offense is just so good, especially at home. Still a really good defensive team. A lot of times, you know, when you lose a player mid-game, it's tough to adjust to that. And that's why Auburn nearly lost to South Carolina. But now that they know he's injured and they've had a couple of days to practice and game plan without Broom, I think that'll help Auburn. So I like the Tigers -7.5 tonight. Then we got number 21, Ole Miss, on the road, taking on number 4, Alabama. Bama opened up as a 9.5-point favorite. Now they're up to 11.5 with a total of 164.5. Now that it's up to 11.5, I kind of like Ole Miss in the game. I think they're going to be able to keep it close. Both of these teams, 3-0 in SEC play. You got two of the best coaches in the country in Chris Beard against Nate Oates. I think this game's going to be pretty close. Bama's usually really good at home. This might be a great game to bet live as well, just because Bama is such a streaky team. And with how fast they play and how good their offense is and how many threes that they shoot, they can be down 2 and then up 12 in the blink of an eye. So maybe a good idea to bet this game live. At 11.5, though, I lean towards Ole Miss. Give me Kansas State at home +6.5 to Texas Tech. Total in this game is 145.5. This is all about a fade of Texas Tech. On Saturday, they were home against the number 3 team in the country in Iowa State. They lost that game in overtime. They had the Cyclones on the ropes. Iowa State tied the game up as time expired in regulation. That's a tough loss. Now you got to regroup, go on the road, and even though Kansas State's not having a good year and they're not a very good team, life on the road in the Big 12 is not easy, and Kansas State's a tough place to play. So I think Texas Tech could be a little bit sluggish tonight. I like K-State plus the points. I like them on the money line as well. Also, give me Missouri in the first half, +5.5 against Florida. A little bit of a spooky line. You got a top 5 team in Florida, only favored by 10.5 at home against an unranked Missouri team. Mizzou's a solid team in the SEC, probably going to make it into the tournament as like a 9 or a 10 seed. Dennis Gates is a nice team this year. They upset Kansas earlier in the year. Florida's had a tough stretch to start SEC play. At Kentucky, home against Tennessee, at Arkansas, feels like a game where maybe they're not as juiced as some of those others. I think Missouri could jump on them early, so I'll take the Tigers in the first half, +5.5. And speaking of Arkansas, man, does Coach Cal and the Hogs need this game bad. They're 0-3 to start SEC play. They lose this game, it's not going to be pretty. I like them on the money line. Take care of business tonight against probably the worst team in the SEC in LSU. So give me Arkansas money line -150 tonight against the Tigers. All right, let's go to PJ's props real quick. Bring on our producer, Shawnee Sharp. Run through a couple of these and get to Matt Horner then after that for model making money. Shawnee Sharp, what do we got for some of PJ's props?
Yeah, Pete, let's go to the national championship game. Jeremiah Love to score a touchdown at +175 or Mika Ibuka to score a touchdown at +145.
I'm going to go Ibuka at +145. Jeremiah Love's a great player, but Notre Dame, when they're inside the 10 or inside the 5, they actually like leaning on Riley Leonard and the QB run. So because of that, I don't think the value's as good on Love and Mika Ibuka. With all the attention on Jeremiah Smith, I'll take him +145.
Let's stay in the national championship game. The other Jeremiah Smith, over 84.5 receiving yards at minus 115, or Riley Leonard, over 37.5 rushing yards at minus 115.
We were just talking with Tyler, and Texas made it clear that their game plan was to let anybody beat them but number four. I don't think Notre Dame's going to do that. They're a team that loves to play man coverage. They trust their guys on the outside. And I don't know if that's a good idea against Jeremiah Smith, especially coming off a game where he had one catch for 4 yards. So I'll take Jeremiah Smith over 84.5 receiving yards.
Let's head to the NFL playoffs here. The Texans and Chiefs, Nico Collins over 78.5 receiving yards, or Travis Kelce over 52.5 receiving yards.
Yeah, I'll go with Kelce over receiving yards, right? Nico Collins is the only guy on Houston that could really beat you on the outside. Spags is one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL for the Chiefs. McDuffie's one of the best corners. So I think it's going to be tough for Collins to get going. It's playoff time, and we know this is when Kelce tends to shine. So I'll go Kelce over receiving yards.
All right, a couple more here for you, Peach. The Commanders and Lions, the longest reception, Terry McLaurin over 24.5 yards at minus 115, or Jameson Williams, 23.5 at minus 115.
I honestly like both. I mean, Jameson Williams is a deep threat for Detroit. You can hit some explosive plays against this Washington defense, but I'm going to go with Terry McLaurin because he's one of the best deep threats in the NFL, one of the best contested catchers in the NFL. And Aaron Glenn and that Lions defense, they love to get aggressive. They love to play man coverage. And if Jaden Daniels sees one-on-one, he's going to Terry McLaurin down the field. So I'll go Terry, longest reception.
All right, last one here for you, Peach. The game of the weekend, I know you'll be very much stressed during this game, Bills and Ravens. The two MVPs potentially here, Lamar Jackson to score a touchdown at plus 190 or Josh Allen to score a touchdown at plus 120.
I'll go Josh at plus 120 just because, again, when the Ravens are in the red zone or inside the five, they're going to give it to Derrick Henry and let him get in the end zone, whereas the Bills are going to use Josh Allen as their short yardage goal line guy. So I think even though the price isn't as good on Allen, factor getting it plus money, I think, is a good buy. So I like Josh Allen rather than Lamar to score a touchdown at plus 120. All right, let's get to Motto Making Money. Check in with Matt Horner. Busy slate of sports, not only today, but this upcoming week. We got divisional weekend, Matt, a lot to get to. What is the BetQL model like for today, though? What are some of your five-star plays?
Yeah, so we're going to go to college basketball for our five-star play today. I'll make it short and sweet. We're going Syracuse +8 against Louisville. The model projects the Orange as just a 3.5-point underdog, so that's a difference of 4.5 points. That's going to trigger a five-star play every single time. So give us Syracuse +8 against Louisville.
There you go. Some good value right there, according to the model. All right, Matt, we got divisional round set in the NFL. Should be four really good games, four intriguing games. Have you placed any bets so far, any of the four games?
Yeah, I actually have not placed anything quite yet, but obviously, I mean, I think we know which way I'm probably going to be leaning here. One game I am looking at, in particular, Houston and Kansas City. It looks like there's a strong possibility of snow and wind. And I mean, you look at this total, it's, you know, 42, 41 and a half. I mean, it's extremely low. And the Texans are getting, you know, 8.5 points, with a total that low. I think it's just going to be a really low scoring slugfest type, maybe even ugly game if we do get snow and stuff like that. And a lot of times the points are valuable in that situation. So I'm thinking about betting the Houston Texans. I know everybody's probably going to be taking the Chiefs, obviously, because they're the Chiefs. But I think the Texans could be a little undervalued there. So maybe the Texans. Interestingly, I did see Washington get to 10, and then it was gone in 5 minutes. So that is no longer available. But I think if that got to 10, like if I saw a 10 pop on that again, I would have to bet Washington. At double digits, so I'd probably do that, but we're not there yet. So those are my two biggest leans for the weekend so far, but I haven't actually placed any bets.
Yeah, right now, Matt, it's bat up to 9.5 on BetMGM with Detroit. So, you know, obviously only being a Tuesday, chance that maybe we do get that 10 with the Commanders. Oh, yeah. You mentioned the BetQL model tonight. They like college hoops play. Anything for you, Matt, on the hardwood tonight, NBA, college basketball, anything you like?
Yeah, I actually got a bunch of these. So Auburn, you were just talking about it. I think they're going to smash Mississippi State. I think there's a reason this line is 7.5, even without Broome. Mississippi State, the 15th team in the country, and Auburn's laying 8 points here at home. I think a lot of people might be convinced to take number 15, getting that many points. I think that's wrong. Auburn smacks them around. I'll take Illinois in a bounce back against Indiana tonight. I'm not sure if Jack is going to play. for Illinois. I think he's questionable right now, but at the same time, Illinois is favored by 3.5 on the road at Indiana. Again, I think there's a reason for that as well. I'll take the bounce back with Illinois. Another one I love, BYU, the Mormons. They have lost 3 straight games, and they are laying 14.5 points tonight against Oklahoma State. Again, I think that is a total smackdown. I know all these have been favorites, but I actually love a lot of favorites today. Arizona laying 5 points against Baylor tonight. Baylor number 25 in the country. Arizona's on a roll right now. Again, I think there's a reason that Arizona is a 5-point favorite against number 25. So give me Arizona there. And one, interestingly tonight, people may not be looking into as much. Colorado State has won three straight games. They're going into San Diego State, who just got blown out by New Mexico in their last game. San Diego State now laying -7 against a Colorado State team that's hot and won 3 straight. And again, I think there's a reason they're laying that many points. So give me San Diego State -6.5, -7 to take down Colorado State.
Beautiful. A lot of great stuff there in college basketball. Matt, appreciate the time as always, my friend. Good luck tonight. We will talk again soon.
Sure. Thanks, PJ.
You got it. All right, guys, let's move ahead to PJ's plays now here on Send It In. Give out some of our plays real quick to wrap up the show. My prop lock for the day is going to be Texas A&M's Zurich Phelps over 19.5 points. Without Wade Taylor in the last 3 games, Phelps has been the guy to step up for the Aggies, 18, 34, and 24 in his last 3 games. Going up against Kentucky, they're going to have to score. Take Phelps over 19.5 points. Missouri first half, my dog of the day, +5.5 against Florida. And I agree with Matt, love Auburn tonight, -7.5 against Mississippi State. Even without Chennai Broome, I think Auburn rolls. Those are my 3 favorite plays of the day. Thanks again to Tyler Warjack, Matt Horner for joining us today on the show. I'm going to be on You Better You Bet with Femi at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll see you guys then. We'll see you tomorrow for some more Send It In.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.